Featuring James Baldwin and Rob James.
WRC is back for 2024. We're going to Monte Carlo this weekend, and you're listening to a very brand new podcast. Oh, it's got that new podcast smell. Welcome to this episode of Listen to My Calls, where we have decent microphones and decent opinions. And I'm joined by my friend and yours, Rob James.
Thank you very much, James. And Monte Carlo, Monty Python, Monty, comma, Monty Full, the, in whatever order in your local capital city. It is, I'm glad that we're starting a rally podcast because I want to be the first WRC because there's no WRC podcast that has ever existed time in memoriam. So we are the first, the only one ever to have ever been created. And if you look at F1, surely F1 is on a downward spiral.
Has to be.
WRC can't do any worse.
There is so much to talk about WRC more generally, but about Monte Carlo, of course, there is a new point system for WRC this year.
Because if I'm perfectly honest, I'm not really across it.
So I don't think anyone is.
So Rob. Let's go on a journey together.
Well, that is all to come in this episode of Listen to My Calls.
Listen to My Calls.
All right, let's do our best to try and unpack the point system because plenty of people who know about the point system are still confused. And the biggest thing, Rob, is that everyone is worried that new fans to the sport are going to have absolutely no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Look, if you are watching rallying for the first time, it is a hell of a sport to get your head around. Now, in terms of my personal experience, I've been playing Colin McRae Rally 2 since the age of 10.
Yeah, it's true.
Before puberty. That's how long I have surrounded myself and absorbed rallying. So, if you're a bit bored of Max Verstappen, boy, I'm glad Kalle Rovanperä is not around to be the WRC equivalent because it's an open season. And added with the restructured point system, you go to Sunday, and the criticism was, well, Sunday's a bit boring because everyone's conserving. Oh, no, we've got to finish in the points. Whereas now you've still got the overall rally points. You obviously still want to win the rally outright. That hasn't changed. There's now an extra incentive to go your hardest on Sunday because if you had a shocker on Saturday or Friday or whatever and have lost so much time, you can get these bonus points effectively on Sunday and go your hardest and not be out of championship contention, which, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that what we want?
Yes, absolutely.
So again, to prove that rallying is the most self-loathing sport in the world, it determined the point system.
Yep.
And it has not even begun and it has immediately been poo-pooed by people within it. They haven't even given it a chance.
No.
It's like, you listen to the first 6 minutes of Listen to My Calls and not giving up? Shame on you.
How dare you?
You're such a rally person for doing that. So
I'm still going to give this one star at the end, but I'm going to listen the whole way through.
But we still have points for the power stage as well, for the final stage of the weekend. So as far as I'm concerned, it's an open book, the WRC. You can't do worse.
No. And to be honest, what I think is really interesting is there's a sliding scale of points from first to 10th. So 18 points, 15, 13, 10, 8, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And that's on the Saturday.
Yes.
But only if they reach Sunday classification.
Right. Oh, so you have to unlock it on the Sunday.
So you can score them, but only if you make it to the Sunday.
Oh.
If you don't, the next best pairing picks up that set of points, if that makes sense. And then for...
No.
I know. Yeah. So for Sunday's leg, 7 points down to 1 point.
Yes.
That part, though, which we just went, oh, hang on. That's what doesn't make the most sense. You should just get points and then that should be unleashed. You've made it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter about the classification point, but you can still, like always, walk away with 30 points for a perfect weekend.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily, though, get all the points if you don't have a perfect weekend, but you could still walk away with the rally win. So it does get a little bit confusing, but let's be honest, the whole reason that this exists is because rally asked for it. The FIA didn't put it into place. They listened and asked the WRC, are you sure this is what you want? Because the WRC commission met and all of the people put together, like Cyril and everyone else got together and said, yeah, this is what we want. So they put it in, and then immediately all of the people who have been in the sport for 30, 40 years and don't like change, immediately hate it.
Yeah.
No, I refuse to take this anorak off. It's been, it's stuck to me through sweat and tears of being the best in the world and seeing all the crowds disappear. But this is the whole point, is to try and make it more accessible. And I think, to be honest, if it works in practice this weekend, fantastic. And they have a step towards a solution to the problem that WRC needs to desperately improve its viewership. And try and call in people who... There's no Formula One on this weekend.
Yeah.
Rugby and, you know, football and cricket and everything else is all played really on a Saturday. Yeah. So, you know, all of the people who should be watching the sport on a Sunday can still watch it. And points are still up for grabs. It might not be as many as there used to be, but it will still look great on television.
Because I'll give you the tip right now. This weekend, Sabalenka wins the women's final of the Australian Open. Djokovic wins the men's final of the Australian Open. The Big Bash, I don't care because the Melbourne Stars aren't playing anymore. So really, I don't even know who's in the A-League anymore. Is that still around?
I don't think so.
So they're the only four sports that are taking place this weekend anywhere around the world. Just like we're the only WRC podcast in the world. There are only four sports. And the only one I'm watching this weekend, my friend, is WRC.
Hell yeah.
And so the point system, it kind of adjusts the parity in terms of the ones who... I've always said this in F1. The amount of moral world champions there have been.
Oh, yes.
Actually, this is a very good WRC game we could play.
Mm.
So we're going to get the Jules Pinizzi wheel. It's a new segment I'm bringing in to listen to my calls this year. We're going to get the wheel of Pinizzi to spin of different years and who should have been the moral world champion.
I can admit that.
I will. Gilles, spin the wheel. I've landed on 2001. It's an obvious one, that one. That should have been Colin McRae's year.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Maybe you should ask the Welsh Wizard.
Yes, you can submit your own moral world rally champions to listen to my calls somewhere. I don't know. I haven't worked it out yet. Maybe there's a Discord.
Maybe there's a Discord.
Maybe there's a Google Plus. I don't know. But you'll find it. You found this podcast. You'll find that. That's for sure.
There'll be a Discord. We'll set up a Discord. You can find us in the Discord and we'll put a little thing in there of the wheel and how you can spin it yourself.
But we also have the opportunity. We have the rare treat where the world champion is not defending their crown in a full-time capacity. Cali Rovanpera, 2023 World Rally Champion, will appear at Rally Sweden, but that's round two. He's only doing a partial program because he's decided to go drifting. lots of people have had sabbaticals from the WRC because either the team cheated or they lost a drive. Kaylee just was like, I'm bored. I'm just going to go drifting for a year. And bizarrely going on YouTube today, just deciding to... He's now becoming Nico Rosberg. He's done a YouTube video of him going through a McDonald's drive-thru in a Rally 1 car.
Oh,
because,
good.
Because no one's done that before.
No.
And when we do that challenge one day, no one will have ever done that before because Listen to My Calls predates everything. But we don't have Cali. We don't have the most dominant driver of the last couple of seasons. Same with Sebastian Ogier. We don't have him in a full-time capacity. We have them on an invitational status. Therefore, Elfyn Evans, if you do not win this World Rally Championship, mate, you're already on the moral chair. You're on Gilles Panizzi's moral champion wheel of 2024. If I see Thierry Neuville or Gregoire Munster P1 because of this bizarre point system, and you've still finished second, there will be hell to pay for. I will. There'll be no amount of Rob McElhenney and the other one. Ryan Reynolds to get you out of this bind, Wales.
Listen to my calls.
All right, it's time to take a look at teams and drivers for 2024.
Because it's an easy segment for listen. It's where easy in.
Well, this is like a preview of the season and preview of the round.
Yeah.
It's nothing but better late than never.
Let's go through some of the movers that occurred between the Forum 8 Rally Japan. I personally preferred Forums 1 to 7 myself. I don't know. What do they do? If we discover nothing on Listen to My Calls, it's... What the hell do Forum 8 do? We're going to do a special Listen to My Calls investigation.
A deep dive.
Forum 8, and what do they do? We're going to get, what's his face? The guy off 60 Minutes, the one that always gets the politicians.
Oh.
Nick McKenzie, that's it. We'll get him on. I'm sure he's a secret WRC fan. We've mentioned it to a couple of people that we're starting a WSA podcast. Yeah. The amount of people that go, that's great. I actually like Rally.
Yeah.
The amount, and it's just, I never would have picked it. The bloke who gave me a ticket today for my car, I said, do you know who I am? I have podcasts. And he's like, oh, really? Name one. And I'm like, listen to my calls. What's that? It's a Rally podcast. Oh, gee, I love Rally. Let me tear up this ticket for you, young man. Oh, how good's Thierry Neuville? Yeah. It was better when Sayas were on board in the WRC. But there's been a little bit of movement in the driver market. Now, the big one was Oit Tanak, which that's a whole segment in itself is poor little old M Sport, because they're having a rough trot. There was, of course, the brief experiment with the late Craig Breen, God rest his soul, and obviously last year with Oit Tanak, who left Hyundai not in a happy place. So I don't know if you know this about Oit, James, but he was the first world champion not to be called Sebastian or French since the end of 2003.
That's incredible.
And so he was the first, non-Frenchman, non-Sebastian winning driver. Keep in mind, this was during an era of which we had Sebastian Vettel winning along the way as well in over next door.
Too many one. Sebastians. Please remove Wait, one.
Yeah, but yeah, no Sebastians, but we're allowed one with I-E-N as his Sebastian Loeb. But anyway, so Oit Tanak goes from winning the World Rally Championship with Toyota, makes a bizarre decision to switch to Hyundai the very next season. So he's running the number one car on his door with Hyundai, and it's instantly a flop. Rolls the car spectacularly the first round at the full Monte Carlo rally. And they also rushed through their Rally 1 car. So the Hyundai in 2022 is no good. The team principal's gone. There's no structure at Hyundai. Oit pulls the parachute and goes, I would rather go to M Sport and try my luck there. Has moderate success. I don't want to say it was a failure, because let's be honest, they still won two rounds last season. Hyundai eventually got their mojo back and they ended up winning two rounds last year. Cyril Abitbol, say what you want about his stint at Renault. He's turned around Hyundai's WRC program hands down. And so I think he's been a good thing for Hyundai. I actually think he's been a very good thing for the WRC as well.
Because
I tell you what, if we do not get Gunther Steiner back in the WRC paddock. Did you know he used to be?
Yes.
He was there in another segment we're going to introduce on Listen to My Calls, the good old days. Because everything was so much better when Marcus Gronholm won rallies by 3 minutes over everyone else in 2002, am I right? Oh, it was the best era ever. Yeah, Marcus Gronholm won the championship with like four rounds to go, but somehow it's the best era of WRC. But anyway, prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong. Yeah, Gunther Steiner was around Ford.
But even in his book, though, he talks about how good rallying was. He says Carlos Sainz Sr., he counts as one of his closest friends.
Sorry, brief sidetrack. I do Please. Want to talk about Carlos Sainz, because I think we've made a massive omission at the top of the show. Dakar Rally, not really our sort of thing. That's for our other podcast called Listen to My Bivouac.
Listen to my sleep in this tent and be super uncomfortable for the entire 2 weeks.
It stinks in here. Listen to my bivouac. And so Carlos Sainz, at the ripe old age of 61.
King.
Some people thought he was not. It was like, what are you doing, Audi? What are you doing? You're bringing an electric car. You're putting this elderly man in here. And he wins the whole thing.
Yep.
That is, for me, quite seriously and sincerely, that is one of the greatest motorsport feats I've seen. In quite a while, because I think it's great, because you look at F1, for example, where if you haven't got an academy contract by the age of 16, you're too old. Whereas Carlos Sainz is 61. Let's face it, not actively competing in major events apart from Dakar. I'm not sure if he's actually doing the World Rally Raid. I will profess by saying I don't know much about the World Rally Raid Championship, the knockoff WRC. Wow, that's harsh.
Tell that to NASA.
Yeah, tell that to ProDrive. NASA, this knockoff car you've given me, I refuse to drive it. Actually, that is actually a fascinating story. But anyway.
That's the link, though, for what you were talking about with Oit, the fact that he leaves Toyota and goes to Hyundai.
That
and
wasn't then, the link.
And stuffs it. No, but no, NASA Alatea.
No, the link was that that Gunther Steiner, when he was at M Sport, used to say, oh, I have to talk to Malcolm. That's what he has to... I have to talk to Wilson. Sorry, go get that. A poor joke.
But seriously, though, Toyota... I mean, to talk about Dakar very quickly, and Carlos Sainz Sr. is a legend. I'm not sure if he's competing in Extreme E this year. For last year, he had a stand-in in...
You like how I said he's not actively competing in anything, and I just omitted Extreme E?
Well, you're not wrong. I'm not sure whether or not he's actually doing it. But again, NASA leaves Toyota and, you know, wins back-to-back-to-back and then goes into a new team, and it doesn't go his way. And, I mean, Sebastian Loeb came third in the overall ranking too. So, it's... From my point of view, I mean, we're happy to talk about Dakar, surely. Happy to... Anything that's off-road we can bring into the remit of this sport. Because unlike Formula One, there's a decent number of races this year for the WRC. There's not 20,000. Yeah. So, we can talk about the other things in some clean air in between different rounds.
Is there like a raidfish.com? Is there a raidfish school? Is there a American Rally Raid Association where Subaru just turn up and win everything and Rally Raid Fish say how good... Anyway.
Talking about Subarus and going through drive-thrus, we should do that challenge in two locations this year. Here in a WRX.
Yes.
With one times Molly Taylor.
Yep.
And in my home, in Canberra, we can head down to Hume, into the industrial complex and catch up with the Bateses.
Yeah.
And see which one of them's game to take the Yaris.
I thought you were going to say we just go to Canberra, take a rally car, do some donuts, watch some porn and let off some fireworks. Imagine if you thought this was dirt fish and you go, geez, they're a bit loose this week.
Can help.
The audio's improved, but... Carlos Sainz... Oh, hang on.
We've tangented a lot. Oit. Where have you gone? Well, come anyway, back, Oit.
Carlos was good.
Gunther was good too.
Yeah, Gunther was good. Please come back, Gunther.
Please.
It's the right thing to do.
Clearly, it's also where sacked team principals now come. So maybe Mattia Binotto will start to appear as
here
well.
Here we go. This is
Cyril set it up for
I'm
success.
I'm telling you, this is Rally Monte Carlo Springtime Edition. This is a great sign for things to come in the WRC. It's going to be great. But anyway, Oit leaves Hyundai. Cyril comes in, straightens them out. Oit has, the reality has sunk in that, let's be honest, M Sport are doing their very best, mind you. They are absolutely punching above their weight to be producing a Rally 1 car weekend in, weekend out as effectively a privateer team, let's be honest.
Which, yeah.
I'm not going to say privateer resources because they have two factories in two countries and they produce a lot of rally cars in their spare time. So, They're obviously, it's very impressive in terms of how they do things, but I think we'll touch on that another day. But for them to lose Oit, retention at M Sport's very difficult. Even their junior drivers, they've struggled with. I mean, we look at Adrian Formo, he was actually benched. He was a full-time Rally 1 driver, subbed out because he kept crashing all the time. And so he's subbed out, sort of relearns his craft in Rally 2, in the British Rally Championship, and Adrian Formo winning that championship last year. Now he's back in the main seat because Mikkelsen turned them down. Oliver Solberg probably had a conflicting sponsor and probably still turned it down. And so they have Adrian Formo and Gregoire Munster. If you created two AI drivers in a computer game, that would be their names. I'll be perfectly honest. They're not exactly household names, but let's face it, the WRC now, who is? So it's your time to shine, Adrian and Gregoire.
WRC 23, as in the game. And if you search WRC 2023, nothing about the championship comes up. It's only now the game, I think, is the best thing that could have happened for the championship last year.
What are you talking about? It is the worst thing to have ever happened because there has been nothing better since Richard Burns Rally. Time in memoriam. It's even better than Listen to My Calls. Richard Burns Rally had a podcast segment in there where you went to the podcast school and you picked up a microphone and then these Hungarian modders decided to... I tell you what, people who are Richard Burns Rally fans, they will look at you blue in the face and say that a game that is some 20 years old... that has been modded privately by a bunch of very keen and enthusiastic people. I'm not going to knock them for that. They're having a go. And they've given it a real good go because the stuff they've done to that game is genuinely very impressive. but we need to let go of this. There's going to be some point, boys, and I mean boys, you got to let go of Richard Burns' rally. You got to stop having just comparing any fault in the EA Sports WRC game compared to the seemingly utterly perfect Richard Burns mods that have been created for in the last 5 years.
Should we talk about Toyota?
Probably wise. Probably wise.
We've touched on Hyundai, we've touched on M Sport. Let's talk about Toyota. You mentioned Elfyn Evans before in terms of
Yes. This
is his year. Mm. He did a very interesting interview with Dirtfish earlier this week, or last week, I should say. And in it, he said that during his whole calendar year, he spends his time between events studying videos from the last event and then training. And that's it.
Yeah.
He's trying to consume as much information as possible. He said that the want to win is still there and it's still as big as ever, probably bigger considering it's eluded him now for so long.
Yeah.
Considering this is the full-time roster that we've got this year, this is, do you think, his year to lose?
Absolutely. The events of 2021 clearly haunt Elfyn because he could have and should have won that championship quite easily. And the fact that Sebastian Ogier won it kind of on a wind-down tour, not to say that Ogier wasn't a worthy champion, but if we want to go moral champions, maybe Elfyn Evans was for that particular season. But it is an open goal for him because, Cali's on a sabbatical. Sebastian Ogier is still sort of just popping up whenever he feels like. So for him, he's very much the leading driver.
Mm.
Taka is as great as he is. Let's face it; he's not in championship contention. I'll say that now from the offset. He still has a bit to go in terms of his development, but we obviously will discount M Sport from this very sadly. So let's set realistic expectations there. Hyundai is the dark horse in all of this because you got Oit slightly rejuvenated and his second coming at Hyundai. It's a different team to when he lobbed there. So there's every chance that it's going to be an Oit, Elfyn Evans kind of season. I don't see anyone else really having a crack. I don't see Neville, even the returning Andreas Mikkelsen, who's also on his second stint at Hyundai, really threatening the very top. They'll be annoying. All of these drivers are really, if you look at a game of soccer, they're like defensive players.
Hmm.
They're going to get in the way of your number one drivers, of which let's narrow it down to two. Let's be frank. They're going to be the two they're going to be fighting out for the championship come Forum 8 of Rally Japan. So, I mean, if we get to Japan and Elfyn hasn't won it by then and he loses the championship, he needs to drop the whole rallying is my whole life. He needs to go to LA and play basketball with Daniel Ricciardo. Once in a while, he needs to do the opposite.
Come out of the farm in Perth.
Yeah, exactly. So it's as much as you're going to give drivers grief for playing basketball and going on the Ellen show in LA, equally so, probably thinking too much about rallying is also equally unhealthy. But let's face it, Elfyn Evans is clearly rallying is very much in his blood with his dad and it's all he knows, really. He'd be unemployable. Imagine if he was unceremoniously disgraced from world rallying and had to, become a forklift driver. He'd actually be quite credentialed as a forklift driver. Okay, well, maybe he becomes...
Especially because Toyota make forklifts.
That's also... Oh, you see? Jobs for the boys. Nepotism at Toyota is rampant.
But I think you're right. In terms of where we sit for the championship more broadly, it kind of almost does have to come down to two. But for this weekend, maybe let's focus a little bit now on Monte Carlo.
Yes.
The favourite is very clear. Sebastian, we are going to Gap.
Yes.
Which is his hometown. Doesn't live there anymore, but it's his hometown. It's where he grew up.
Going back to Gap. There should have been a slogan for that. Let's head back.
Back to the Gap.
Mind the Gap. Let's head back to the Gap. See, this is the thing. Everyone thinks Monte Carlo and it's just Monaco.
Mm.
It's not the case. It's like thinking Australia is just Sydney.
How dare you?
It's not like that.
Put yourself in the bin if that's what you think.
It was the downfall of Forza Horizon. They thought sort of Ferntree Gully and Bondi Beach were within a 5-minute drive of each other. Oh, incorrect.
It's 10 minutes.
Yes. Hello to all of our Welsh listeners, by the way. Now, at the as... at the time of recording, the weather is not very traditional, but that's okay. We've got a whole new point structure, so anything goes, if I'm perfectly honest. It'll be 38 degrees and there'll be the heat bulb will be activated at Rally Monte Carlo. You heard it here first.
It is going to be one of those things. So there's a couple of things to talk about it specifically. You've mentioned already the weather. That is one of the big talking points already across all of the less legitimate publications than Listen to My Calls.
Yes.
That it is very unlikely to be snow. There's very unlikely to be any ice. Mm. There may be for 1 or 2 kilometers of one of the sections, but really, this is going to be potentially quite a dry rally. And we said this before we started recording. Mm. It kind of means that from a tarmac rally point of view, it's going to be a very clean rally too. Mm. The actual stages will be nice and clean. If there's no rain, there's no mud, there's no leaves on the ground, whatever else it is. And so that in itself being unique means that, I mean, Sebastian probably has a good crack. And to be honest, it'd be close between probably 3 or 4 of these cars, even though, and we talk about the point system again, even though it might not be the best to get that trophy, although Sebastian just wants a trophy. He doesn't really care about coming away with mass points for the weekend.
Yeah. It is a bizarre... It's, again, if you're new to rallying, the concept of having these invitational... No, I don't want to say invitational, but this rotating roster of drivers is quite bizarre because we have a mixture of full-timers and part-timers. Poor old Adrian Formo and Gregoire Munster doing all of the heavy lifting at M Sport, it seems, this season. Whereas Hyundai have a farcical 5 drivers in their roster for this coming season, but good on them. Interesting that Toyota didn't make a play for another driver to replace Kelly full-time. But I guess that's their business. They are very busy with their Rally 2 car as well, but we'll touch on that shortly, I'm sure.
Well,
but
there's lots of conversations at the moment about WRC 2 and whether that may be the solution to the very expensive WRC 1. Plenty of people have been having this conversation for quite a while, including us,
yes,
including before recording and before even starting this podcast idea. It is a very popular category. There's a bunch of manufacturers in it already, and the competition is fierce.
Yeah. Well, so I'm on the WRC website now. We look at the WRC drivers list. I can scroll with one scroll on my computer. You go to WRC 2. It's about 28 scrolls, and there's even a page 3 that you got to go of drivers that you can go through. Now, Rally 2, you could say, well, is it quality over quantity? Because you say that there's manufacturers involved, but the key difference in WRC 2 is really it's customer motorsport focused. So if we compare it to, say, GT racing, where the manufacturer will produce a car, but Skoda's produced some 500 of these cars. Now, I know Hyundai have 5 drivers on their world on their WRC Rally 1 roster. Skoda don't have 500 Rally 2 drivers on their roster, as far as I'm concerned. So, but I tell you what, though, Skoda, they may as well have 500 cars because you go through the entry list of any rally around the world, it's Skoda this, Skoda that. Play EA Sports WRC, it's Skoda this, Skoda that. Richard Burns Rally probably has Skoda Fabias as well that everyone plays with. So, it is the car to have, but the big disruptor in the market this year, James, is Toyota bringing in the GR Yaris Rally 2 car, which is remarkable that they're quite well represented for Monte Carlo this weekend. I think it's somewhere between 3 and 5 cars I've got off the top of my head that they have entered for this weekend. For a car that's largely untested, that's pretty good to get. They got Sammy Pajari, who's former Junior World Rally Championship winner, very much on the trajectory of being the WRC's next best thing to dominate 8 World Championships in a row. So look forward to that. and clearly Toyota probably, I don't know, they're not officially in WRC 2, but they'll be keeping an eye on Sammy Pajari for potentially next year if Kalle Rovanperä doesn't come back full time, because surely a lot of teams, Hyundai and M Sport, would also be negligent to not look at Sammy long term and link him to a contract. So it's perfect timing for Toyota to bring out a Rally 2 car because let's be honest, they were the only one. Hyundai have a Rally 2 car, Ford have one, Skoda have one, Citroen to a lesser extent have one as well. Although You say that. Very much on the rumor mill that the great brand of Lancia.
Yes.
One of the great car companies you've never heard of is mooted because I think the Stellantis group, which own a plethora of car manufacturers, one of which is Citroën, because the C3 Citroën, I think it's the end of its life cycle as a road car is coming up soon, and it's probably out of all the Rally 2 cars, because the Fiestas, I think, had a little bit of a birthday. Granted, Ford have stopped making the Fiesta as a road car, but M Sport will still persist with that car till the Puma or, the bloody Ford Ranger becomes a whatever the next Rally 1 World Rally Car formula is, becomes that. But so they'll get a new car, but we'll get a whole new manufacturer at the expense of Citroën, which will be a bit sad because, you know, Citroën have dipped in and out the last sort of bizarrely 20-odd years. They're one of the most successful manufacturers in at least in this millennium, in the WRC. So that'll be sad if and when that happens. But but nonetheless, Toyota very much the new kids on the block, and everyone likes a shiny new toy. So
it's going to be interesting to see how it performs this weekend because it's the first time it's been driven in anger.
Yes.
There was some conversation about, you know, as a three banger, is it going to be able to stand up to the Skoda?
Very interesting point. But it'll have a very different note, car.
Yeah, but you would imagine Toyota has done more than enough testing of its competitors' cars.
Yes.
It's got its hands on those elsewhere in the world and done performance benchmarking to make sure the Yaris is good to go. Yeah. And, I mean, we know from an Australian Rally Championship point of view that from a Toyota point of view that they can dominate. I think it's really interesting. And, again, it kind of lends more sort of weight to this conversation about what we do as a championship in this sport. To try and fix the problem of cost, because the cost of a WRC1 car, Rally 1 car, is ludicrous.
Astronomical. Now, we do have the caveat this year that you can privately run a Rally 1 car without the hybrid system, which, and I'm not sure if there's any more allowances in terms of power or what have you to compensate for the lack of hybrid boost, but given, you know, maybe some of the very public problems the hybrid system has had, you're probably better off without it in some instances because it's, you know, it's heavy and if it goes wrong, then it's practically useless. So, so that's probably a good thing to sort of rejuvenate and give Rally 1 sort of one last chance, one last roll of the dice to see how that formula goes because, yeah, look, let's be honest. If you're listening to my calls, you're a Rally nut and you probably have very strong views of Rally 1 and... Look, the cars look and sound spectacular. See, this is the problem.
Mm.
The cars are so fast. They're so impressive to watch. But for whatever reason, it's just not translated into manufacturers. When Rally 1 was supposed to happen, you had the quartet of Ford, Citroën, Hyundai, and Toyota saying, yes, we're in. We're going to all split the cost of the hybrid system between us four ways because it's just the control system. It's not developed by the manufacturers. Citroën then withdraw. So, oh, great. All right. Well, the FIA now have to stump up the Citroën's quarter of that pie. And no one else has really come to the party. You know, Ford had a really good start with the Puma, but they weren't able to maintain that momentum. Even with Oit last year, they weren't really able to sort of capitalize on that and grow for the future. Hyundai have just kind of got their act together on that front. Toyota are miles in front. In Richard Byrne's rally, there's a Rally 1 Skoda with... No hybrid, but it has 800 horsepower.
Listen to my calls. Stage is finished. Well done.
Well, if you want to get more involved with Listen to My Calls, and why wouldn't you? You can head across to our Discord server. You'll find the link in the description. And why not give us a follow on Instagram and on TikTok, Listen to My Calls. You can search for that. Or again, on your podcast platform of choice, click the links in all of the show notes, Rob.
Yes. And given that Listen to My Calls is on probation with itself... initially, you know, we don't have ads or anything playing in there, so you all get this for free. But at some point, it's going to start costing us money to put this together. So I have decreed, James, that we will have a paddy club.
Yes.
We will have, because like in all great forms of motorsport, you have your free pleb areas where Joe Public can have a wander through. But we're going to have the paddy club experience. It will be catered for.
Mm.
There'll be a guest speech from Cyril Abitable and... And Gunther Steiner will pressure him to prank call Gene Haas at a ungodly hour in North Carolina. And we will determine what that price will be. So listen to my calls.com, whatever the domain is, that I purchase shortly.
Shortly after recording this episode. Well, a massive thank you for you for listening, and Rob, for you for having this idea and for actually doing it. It's going to be a bloody good year of WIC. As we said right at the top, like, it really needs to sort its shit out. So
yeah,
it's now or never.
It's day one of our journey, sort of rekindling our love of the WIC. So you've come at a good time.
Well, many thanks for listening to this episode. Stick around for next week. Of course, we'll do a review of the Monte Carlo Rally. Until then, I have been James.
I have been a Hungarian motto who loves Richard Burns Rally and has no other sort of perspective on the world. And EA Sports is crap, and Richard Burns Rally till the day I die.
And this has been Listen to My Calls.
Shut up. Don't tell me how to drive.
Listen to My Calls, a Helmet Hair Media production.
Never call us again, please. Never in your life.